was doing my homework for the precept study that Marina has invited me to join. And so I think the thing we're reading for the precepts is called Being Upright. And we've read this many years ago. We read this together. But in the introduction, there's a commentary on the four great vows, or when we chant and we say great vows for all creations are numberless. And I have to admit that I always found those vows to be, you know, aspirational, maybe inspirational, but not particularly realistic or having anything to do with me per se. This is a commentary. I'll read some of it, which kind of brought it more, I don't know, make it more, not maybe realistic, but just more practical or more accessible. And so I thought I would share it with you guys because you may feel the same way that I do. Often at the end of lectures and classes, we recite together the four great bodhisattva vows. Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it. The first of the four vows, sentient beings are numberless, I vow to save them, is the fundamental vow of the bodhisattva, the intention and commitment to save all living beings. When you vow to turn toward the welfare of others, you are affirming all life and expressing your desire to live fully in each moment, no matter what the moment brings. The next three vows are required in order to fulfill the first vow. In other words, in order to save all beings, you vow to attain complete enlightenment. You can help a great deal without being completely enlightened, but if you want to help everybody in the fullest possible way, you need to accomplish these next three vows. The second vow is sometimes translated as, delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. But the original reads, afflictions are inexhaustible. The word affliction can be misleading because it implies a negative experience. In reality, we are just as likely to be distracted from our vow by positive experience. By vowing to end all delusions, we mean that we will not let any experience, positive or negative, divert us from our intention to live for the benefit of all life. The third line, Dharma gates are boundless. I vow to enter them. We say enter, but the Chinese character means I vow to understand them or to learn them. We recognize that everything that comes to us is a gateway to the truth, and we vow to use every meeting with every living being and thing as an opportunity for realizing the truth. The last of the four great vows is Buddha's way is unsurpassable. I vow to become it. In other words, there is no higher achievement than Buddha's enlightenment. We say, I vow to become it, but this can also be translated as, I vow to accomplish it, or I vow to manifest it, or I vow to attain it. Not everybody who comes to the meditation center wants to take the bodhisattva vow. You may come primarily to help yourself, and perhaps a few others. At first, you can't honestly say that you want to save all living beings from suffering. You may feel that such an enormous project is beyond your capability or even beyond your wildest thoughts. It's good that you're honest, but would you like to learn how to make this vow? If you can't quite buy making the first vow, start by exploring the other three. How do your afflictions prevent you from making the vow to save all beings? Perhaps you feel that you don't have the time or the capacity to make this commitment. It's true that you have a limited amount of time and energy, but you don't have to be afflicted by that fact. You don't need to have limitless powers in order to become a bodhisattva. Your limitations do not interfere with your helping people. In fact, it is through those very limitations that you will learn how to help people. Helping others entails learning how you are helped. In order to heal others, you must learn to heal yourself. Learning how to give to yourself is a part of learning how to give to others. If you are stingy with yourself, you will be stingy with others. When you understand how everything is given to you, you will be able to give everything to others. This relates to the third vow. Everything that comes to you is an opportunity for truth. All the things that you consider to be limitations or to be interference with loving others are actually opportunities for you to realize the truth along with other beings. Ironically, wanting to help others before you help yourself does not mean that others are actually helped before you are. As a bodhisattva, you may want to help others before you help yourself, but in fact, as soon as others are helped, you are helped. You and others attain the way simultaneously. Finally, the fourth view is a natural unfolding of the third vow. The fourth vow is a natural unfolding of the third vow. When you vow to become one with Buddha's way, you vow to see things as a Buddha sees them. Not only is everything that comes to you an opportunity to discover the truth, but everything that comes to you is the truth. Everything is Buddha's teaching. When you see beings who are suffering and you know how profoundly good they are, you don't feel discouraged from working for their welfare. It may be hard, but you feel compelled to offer help because you want them to see how incomparably wonderful they are. You want them to wake up. In Japanese, there's a beautiful expression for Buddha mind, quote, to love beings just as they are, beyond any desire for them to be any other way. We make judgments about people that prevent us from being intimate with them. We think, this person's a drug addict, that person's crazy, that other person is my enemy. It would be hard to be intimate with such people. Those thoughts by themselves are okay as long as they don't turn into afflictions, as long as they don't block you from seeing that person as a gate to the truth. It's hard to become intimate with even one being. Where do you start? To become intimate with someone means to meet that person or that being without taking all the knowing to yourself. It means entering into a relationship where you don't know exactly what's happening, where you don't decide unilaterally what's going on. If your view is the only one that matters to you, then there will be no intimacy. When you vow to save all beings from suffering, you're not vowing to figure out what's going on with them and offer a quick solution. When you're talking to somebody and the conversation starts going in some direction that you don't like, you vow to see the direction it's going as a Dharma door. You vow to see you're not liking it going in that direction as a Dharma door. You recognize your impulse to get it back on track as trying to get control of this conversation. You see how you're afflicted by your opinions. You want to save all sentient beings, but you think you can't save them if they go off in the wrong direction. Even that delusion can be a Dharma door. The willingness to make this vow, to plunge into life, not turn away from it, comes from the communion with the Buddha. And communion with the Buddha comes with being upright. You can't make it happen by yourself, and nobody else can make it happen for you. When you practice being upright, you begin to let down some of your defenses, and this vow comes and meets you. You don't have to say anything in particular or do anything in particular to be helpful to people. You become a bodhisattva by wishing for your own happiness as well as the happiness of others, and by opening to your own experience in a loving way. When you love yourself and are kind enough to yourself to be who you really are, you're showing others what they need to do in order to be free. You're showing them what it's like to be present in the middle of suffering. You're right here in the world just like them. You know about fear and anxiety, but you don't run away. This is the way you join hands with people and walk together through birth and death.